Verse 2, Psalms 91, verse 2. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Psalms 91, verse 2. Service times are at 10:30 this morning, 3:30 this afternoon, 6:30 on Wednesday. Sounding times were yesterday at 12:30 and today at 1. I believe we had one salvation this afternoon. Amen. That brings the total for 8 for February, 10 for January, for a total of 18 so far this year. All right, attendance down below. Coming up on the 17th in 2 days will be the kids' homeschool day and get together. It's going to be a Valentine's party. It's going to be games and pizza. Be here at 11 a.m. in the church building. Please let Ms. Kylie know if you are coming. March 6th will be our Wazoo College Soul Winning event, meeting at Chipotle at 10:45 in Pullman, Washington. So please RSVP if you'd like to go to that. And March 8th will be the next kids choir practice. We're going to be starting basically practicing for Easter, so there'll be a little kids quartet there for basically the Easter event, which will be very nice. And that'll be right after the morning service. On March 27th through the 29th will be our anniversary weekend for this church. Pastor Thompson will be preaching Friday night. More details will come out, and then I believe Brother Ramon is still going to come sometime next month, so looking forward to that. Kids, your next memory verse changed right now. So if you can memorize this and let Miss Kyla know, you will receive a piece of candy for a reward. Romans 12, verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It's Romans 12, verse 11. All right. Rules are all down the same. Donations are down below. We sung Happy Birthday for Aaron this morning. No further birthdays or anniversaries we're aware of. If you have any other prayer requests, please let the Thompsons know. And also, I believe if you're interested, please let Remy know. This Friday, there will be a scouting down to Wazoo, basically to make sure we find a good place to, when we bring more of the church down, that we're all set up, know how to get around, where to feed people. The necessities when you bring a lot of people. So it's a good thing to scout when we're traveling so far. So if you're interested in that, please let Brother Remy know. He'll give out further details in the week. So with that, let's turn to the Lord in prayer.
Amen. All right, if you want to take your Bibles, we're going to turn to Psalm number 67. Psalm number 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us. Psalm number 67. Psalm number 67. We'll sing it out on the first. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. The nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us in all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. With apology, please pray for the offering.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for all that we have, and let us always remember to be thankful. For Lord, you have allowed us to get this far in life. Certainly, you'll carry us the rest of the way on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. If you could go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6, and here at our church, we read the entire chapter before the preaching. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Brother Jake, could you please pray for the preaching?
Amen. All right, so we're here in Ephesians chapter number 6. Look down at verse number 10, where the Bible reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And the title of my sermon this evening is "The Jews and Their Files." The Jews and Their Files. And basically this evening, I wanted to preach about, you know, kind of the biggest thing that's, you know, in the news at this time is basically the release of the Epstein files. Because I believe it was like 2 weeks ago or maybe a week and a half ago. I'm not totally sure on the timeline of everything. Basically, the Justice Department, they were forced to release like 3 million of the Epstein files, right? And because of a law that was passed back in 2025 that basically forced the Justice Department to release the files, right? And, you know, the law stated that they, you know, there was a couple reasons why they could redact certain things. But otherwise, they just had to release everything. And, of course, you know, they released it and it's like all redacted, except, you know, except for like the victims' names, which they specifically said you have to redact the victims' names. But, you know, they just put that out there for the whole world to see for some reason. But, you know, what these files illustrate is what's going on here in verse number 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." And this is what those files perfectly illustrate, is the rulers of the darkness of this world and against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And, you know, it's interesting, the modern versions of the Bible, you know, they like to take out high places in here and insert heavenly places to make everything, it's just like, it's just this battle going on in heaven, far off somewhere. There's nothing going on here at earth you have to worry about. But in reality, the King James Bible, God's preserved word, says right here, it says wickedness in high places. Now, what are those high places? I mean, maybe high places in government power. Maybe that's what that's talking about. People of great influence, people that have great authority and great power on this earth. According to the Bible here, there's a lot of spiritual wickedness going on. And there's a lot of rulers of darkness going on in this world. And, you know, these files that have come out recently have just illustrated that perfectly. Okay. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter number 12. And if I could get a glass of water, that would be fantastic. And in Luke chapter number 12, the Bible says in verse number 1, it says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, and as much as they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Now, you see, all these people that are in the Epstein's files that have committed all these atrocities, you know, I bet they thought that what they have done would never come to light. I bet that they thought that they would be able to get away with it because of all the power and influence that they had and the dirt they had on everybody, that they would be able to get away with it in perpetuity. But the Bible says right here, look, you know, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and there's neither anything hid that shall not be known. And so all of their wickedness, I believe by the providence of God, is just being revealed to us today, that we can see the immense wickedness of the people that are ruling over us today. Okay. Now, I am not going to get into any graphic detail about what these people have done. And the reason why is because of what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5, in verse number 11, where it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." So I'm not going to sit up here and get into any graphic detail about what those sick people have done. But you know what? We are going to talk about the categories of things that they have done, okay? Now, go ahead and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And I want to read this story to illustrate the level of depravity that I believe that these people have reached. And in 2 Kings chapter number 6, we have a pretty disturbing story. You know, there's some pretty unpleasant stories in the Bible. And this is probably one of the most unpleasant stories that there is in the Bible. But you know what? The Bible records it for us for a reason. And you know, all of God's word is profitable. And we can learn stuff from every single word of God. And you know, there's a reason why this story is in here. But let's go ahead and read it. In 2 Kings chapter number 6, look at verse number 25. It says, "And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, and until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard these words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh." So what is this story talking about? Well, basically, this is just the Bible recording what happened during the siege of Samaria here. And what's going on? Well, they're so hungry, they're so deprived of food, that they're actually willing to eat their own children. I mean, I don't know if anybody saw that in the story there, but basically this woman is complaining to the king that she agreed with another woman that they were both going to eat their children, and they already ate her children, but then the other mother is hiding her child, and she's going to the king to complain about that. You know, I've been hungry a few times in my life. You know, back, I used to be a wrestler in high school. You know, we'd have to cut weight, and you'd be hungry, right? I've never been that hungry. And, you know, I pray to God I'm never that hungry. And if I ever get to the point where I'm that hungry, where my child starts looking tasty, I'm just going to eat a pistol. Okay? I'm not going that far. I'm sorry. But the reason why I'm reading this story today is because this is what they were doing without being hungry. Now, I've listened to, you know, some of the reporting of what other people have gone through these Epstein files and found out. And basically, you know, they don't just come out and say, like, hey, let's eat some children. Not what they're saying. But they're using coded language. And, you know, I'm sure probably many of us heard of a scandal years and years ago called Pizzagate, right? Where basically, you know, there was this, I can't remember the guy's name, but his emails were released to the world. And then people were going through his emails and they're looking through like, hey, why is he talking about pizza like this? What's up with this pizza stuff? And basically they kind of figured out that, what, you know, he's using coded language for child trafficking. Where he's calling the children pizza so that way, just in case the emails get released to the world, you know, he doesn't get busted for child trafficking, right? And, you know, this came out years and years ago, and of course, you know, the mainstream media is like, oh, you know, that's crazy, that's insane, you know, we're not, you know, there isn't a pedophile ring ruling over us that's trafficking children everywhere. But, you know, these files have basically told us that was actually all true. Those crazy people that were like, hey, it's Pizzagate, there's a bunch of pedophile elitists running everything, those people were actually right. Basically, those people have all been exonerated and proven right. Okay. Now, apparently in these files, you know, of course, they're talking about pizza and grape soda. They're like, hey, you want to have pizza and grape soda? Which, has anybody ever said those words to you? Grape soda. Have you ever asked anybody in your entire life, would you like some grape soda? I mean, unless you were holding a case of it in your hand, right? And who drinks grape soda anyway? I mean, you know, if you like grape soda, that's fine. Like, I drank it all the time when I was a kid. You know, maybe there's a PSYOP going on. I don't know about that. But, you know, I drank grape soda when I was a kid. But, you know, when I became a man, I put away childish things, okay? You know? But that's just really weird. Like, why would you be talking about, hey, you want to come over, you know, you want to fly over hundreds of miles and have pizza and grape soda? That's weird. And that goes right along with the whole Pizzagate thing. But another thing that they were talking about is beef jerky. Okay. And basically they're talking about like, hey, I'm going to walk the beef jerky over to your house. And then there were supposed to be 12 ounces of beef jerky for me in the fridge. Where is it? And that beef jerky was really good. And, you know, they're talking about beef jerky in a really weird way and consuming it in a real, really weird way. And what's up with they're walking the beef jerky over? Does beef jerky walk? No. Beef jerky doesn't walk. So what are they talking about? To me, this indicates that they're doing what was happening in 2 Kings chapter number 6. They're eating people. Specifically, they're eating children. And I believe in one of the files, they even use the word cannibalism for describing something. And it's like, okay, and it was in context of the beef jerky. So, you know, I'm just illustrating, this is the level of depravity that this class of people has descended to. They've descended to, basically, they're probably sacrificing these children to the devil and then eating them. And again, you know, they're not coming out and just saying these things, but they're using this coded language to try to cover themselves from any investigation, okay? But this type of thing has gone on throughout history, and pretty much almost every single false religion throughout history, it usually involves some sort of child sacrifice. You know, this is not something that was isolated, you know, to the Bible times, because we read about in the Old Testament, you know, these various wicked nations would sacrifice their children unto Baal. And then at various times, even the children of Israel would participate in that type of practice. But this is something that has gone on throughout the world, throughout history. My sermon this morning was, you know, the Jews and their files. Because I do believe this is basically a giant Jewish conspiracy to control all the different nations of the world. And because it's like, you know, why is it that everything, you know, basically Netanyahu comes over to America and it's almost as if, you know, he tells Trump to jump and then Trump says, how high on the way up? You know, it's absolutely astounding the amount of control that they exert over the American government. Because, you know, you wonder, you know, why is it that, you know, we invaded Iraq multiple times, and you know, why is it that we toppled Syria and Libya And why do we just allow the Jews to bomb innocent children day in and day out in Gaza? You know, and why is it that that we're bombing the Houthis? And you know, why do we do all these things for the Jews? Well, it's because they've exerted control through people like Jeffrey Epstein over our government. That's the reality of the situation. Okay. But this type of thing that the Jews are doing is something that has gone on throughout history, okay? And they even have a name for it. The name for it is blood libel. Now, I just typed in blood libel, because you'll hear this from time to time. You know, some Jew will be like, that's blood libel, right? It's like, okay, well, what is that? Well, I'll just read for you this is what the internet pulled up when I typed in blood libel. It says right here, it is a false anti-Semitic fabrication accusing Jews of murdering Christians, specifically children, use their blood for religious rituals originating in medieval Europe, the 1140s. This dangerous slander was used to justify the persecution, torture, and mass murder of Jewish communities. Now, of course, you know, they say, oh, it's false. It's false. It's not true. It's not true. Well, you know, it's interesting that basically throughout history, the Jews have been continually accused of this stuff. You know, and they've been actually thrown out of, what is it, 109 countries. That's, you know, officially they've been thrown out of 109 countries throughout history. And I believe pretty much most of those are all in Europe. They're all recorded to have happened in Europe. And so, you know, all these European countries are just like throwing them out. They're just like, we need to get rid of these people. And it just happens over and over and over again. But they're like, well, we didn't do anything wrong. You know, and there was a relatively famous quote from, I think it was a Jewish congressman. He's like, we've been thrown out of 109 countries and it's never been our fault. Really? You're just so virtuous and so honest and so loving and kind. You know, that you've been thrown out of 109 countries. You know, if I were thrown, let's say if I was thrown out of 109, what would be a good example? If I was thrown out of 109 fundamental Baptist churches, you think it'd be my fault? Ah, they're all bad. No, you're a joke. If you're thrown out of 109 Baptist churches in a row, it's your fault. It's not the country's fault, my friend. It's because you have a problem, okay? And, you know, who are the people accusing the Jews of sacrificing children to the devil? Who was it? Was it other Jews? No. It was Christians, my friend. So Christian people that claim the name of Christ are like, hey, the Jews are sacrificing children. Throw them out of the country. You know, who am I going to believe? You know, because the Bible says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He's an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So who am I going to believe? The group of people that the Bible says are liars multiple times? Because guess what? I mean, in Revelation 2 and 3, it says, hey, them that say they are Jews but do lie. Right? It says they're liars. So who am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the Christians who are at least claiming the name of Christ? I realize these are largely, you know, there's going to be a lot of Catholics and stuff. But, like, who am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the person that claims the name of Christ or the guy that specifically rejects him as part of his religion? I'm going to believe the guy that's claiming the name of Christ. That's what I'm going to believe. And, you know, this goes along and just makes sense with what's going on today. It's like, okay, well, you know, there's these claims that back in the Middle Ages, they were sacrificing children to Baal. And then we have all these emails come out where it seems like they're sacrificing children to Baal and then eating them. You know, it seems like those things are going together. It seems like there's a common denominator going on here. And, you know, I put together a really short list of famous people that were implicated, and these are all people that I believe with like 99% certainty are guilty of these horrible crimes. Okay, and again, this list is really short, and I realize that there's probably a ton of people on the list, but you know, I wasn't going to go through and just meticulously seek out every single person. But this is just a really short list of people that are on the list. There's Prince Andrews, Bill Clinton, and Howard Lutnick. You know, and Howard Lutnick, he's in the Trump administration. You know, I believe he's one of the secretaries, like one of the economical type secretaries. I can't remember the exact position that he has. But he was he did like an interview about this years ago where he said, well, in 2005, he was my neighbor, and I went over to his house, and I saw that he had a massage table. And he was like, I get the right kind of massages. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I took my wife, and we said, he's a creep. And then we left, and we never saw him again. But then it comes out in the emails that he went to the island. And then when they asked him about it, because they drug him in front of Congress, they're like, hey, what's up, dude? You said you said you never seen him again. And he's like, well, we had lunch, and I brought my kids. It's like, you know, Howard, that's not making it better that you brought your kids. That's actually really weird. It's really freaky. I mean, I know you're trying to use that as like a shield, but that's really weird to use your children as a shield. And, you know, the fact that you straight up lied about it makes us not really believe anything you're saying anymore. So it kind of makes me think that you are guilty, okay? And then the last person here is Les Wexner. Now, Les Wexner, basically, he's the guy that founded Bath & Body Works. He was one of the higher-ups with Victoria's Secret. And Les Wexner, you know, he's if you check out his early life, you know, if you do a little bit of noticing, you check out his early life, he was a Jew, right? And in the files, he's listed as a co-conspirator. Now, what does that mean? Well, basically, you've got kind of the perpetrators and then the conspirators. What's that? Well, basically, the perpetrators are people that are getting the benefits, you know, of child rape, is what we'll just call it. The conspirators are the people that procure the bait. Okay. So Les Wexner is, you know, and you know, everybody that's participating in this is extraordinarily evil. But, you know, to be somebody that procures people, and look, like if you're Les Wexner, you own Bath & Body Works, you're a higher up at Victoria's Secret, I think he was like, you know, they have these weird titles for him. I don't understand all the weird titles. But basically, he's like the CEO of Victoria's Secret. And so basically, he has access, you know, to all these women. And he can offer, you know, this wonderful, by the way, you know, this is why parenting is really important, because your child, your daughter should never, ever, ever want to work for Victoria's Secret, that disgusting, filthy company that just wants to sell underwear to people by showing off women's nakedness everywhere. That's sick and disgusting. You know, our children should not want to desire that at all. But look, there's women in this world that they want to work for Victoria's Secret. They want to show their booty to the whole world for money, right? And so they want to work for Victoria's Secret really bad. So Les Wexner offers them this deal. Hey, you know, just go give somebody a massage. And he's in this position of power and absolutely abusing it. Okay. Now, what I believe about these people, you know, I believe, you know, I saw a little clip. I thought it was kind of, you know, sometimes you have a little bit of levity, a little bit of humor with these type of things. But he was like, you know, people are wondering why we can't just move on from the Epstein files. And he's like, yeah, I totally agree. I think we should be able to move on. We should be moving on to the execution phase as soon as possible. He's like, I don't know what the holdup is. You know, do we don't have enough wood chippers? I've got a wood chipper. You can borrow mine. I will lend it to you for free, right? We can get this thing going. But, you know, that's what I believe these people deserve, though. Is, you know, they believe, people that participate in this kind of thing, they believe they deserve the death penalty, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay, and that should be something that is actually really obvious. And somebody that's like, no, you know, we don't need the death penalty for that. You know, there's something wrong with that person. Because when, you know, you find out what these people were doing, it's like, no. This is the only solution, my friend. This is the only thing that can help these people. If we want to help pedophiles, you know, Jesus did say, he said it were better for you that a millstone were hanged about your neck and you're thrown into the sea than you should offend one of these little ones. So it's actually better for them if they get that punishment swifter. Why? Because then they have less opportunity to harm more children. Because guess what? The more children they harm, the hotter hell is going to be for them. Right? And so that's actually the most merciful thing that we can do for these people, is just to get rid of them, you know, as soon as possible. Now, you know, I'm kind of going off on a lot of rabbit trails. You know, this sermon is going to consist of a lot of rabbit trails, unfortunately. Or fortunately, I don't know. Some people like rabbit trails. I kind of like them. But, anyways, I don't know where I was going with this. But basically, you know, you have a bunch of powerful people that are taking advantage of, you know, these different young women. And, you know, there's pictures of Jeffrey Epstein by a pool with a six-year-old in the pool. It's like, yeah, you know what? Because some people are trying to say, well, it wasn't really pedophilia. Yes, there was pedophilia going on there. Yes, there was. And guess what? Even if there, theoretically, even if there wasn't, they still deserve the death penalty, because we have something called, in the United States, called statutory rape. What is that? Well, that's when an older man rapes a young woman. Basically, if you have a lady or a girl, I should say, that's like less than 18, let's say she's like a 16-year-old girl or a 15-year-old girl, and an older man goes and lays with her, we call that statutory rape. Why? Because in this country, we've decided, look, unless you're 18 years old, you don't get to make that choice, because we don't think you're mentally ready. You know, and I agree 100% with the 18-year-old limit. Why? Because that protects most everybody. Okay, because you could be like, oh, well, what if she's 17? What if she's 17? And, you know, she's mature. She can make her own choices. Well, you know, I don't agree with putting it at 17 or 16, even though theoretically you could have like a mature girl that's 17 years old, right? But it's also possible that you have an unmature girl that's 17 years old and can be easily manipulated by some older man, okay? That's why I totally agree with the 18-year-old rule. Why? It's to protect as many girls as possible. That's why that's there, okay? And any organization, any group of people, anybody that wants to lower the age of consent is a wicked person. Why? Because they want to reduce protection for young women. That's their goal. You know, and there's a lot of other countries around the world that have really weird laws about this. You know, I think there's some certain European countries that have their age of consent at like 14. And you know, I wonder who's in charge of their country. You know, I wonder who that could possibly be. I think it's probably the Jews, isn't it? I mean, who is it that rules over Europe anyway? It's the Jews, right? That's why they have the Arabs just invading their country to destroy them. Why? Because, you know, and I've preached this before, but it's because the Jews hate Christianity, so they want to get rid of the continent that is kind of famous for Christianity. So they want to wipe Europe off the map. So they demoralize the population by putting in all these horrible laws. And, you know, if you're a pedophile in Germany, you get basically less, you get less time in jail than somebody that asks for the pedophile to be put to death. You know, it's just absolutely insanity over there in Germany. But anyway, we're in Luke chapter number 17. I've been ranting here for a while. Luke chapter number 17, verse number 2, it says, "It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." So according to the Bible, again, you know, these people should be, you know, thrown, it's better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hanging about their neck. So you know, that's, again, that's my very short list of people that are on the list. So, you know, I don't want to have, you know, people coming up to me, well, what about this person and this person and this person? Didn't you know this person was on the list? Yeah, I know there's a lot of people on the list, okay? But, you know, again, I don't have time to sit there and just go through every single person on the list, but these are people that I think are absolutely guilty. And they're kind of relevant because they're either in, you know, Trump's, like, White House, or it's, you know, Bill Clinton, he's a former president. and you know, Prince Andrews and Les Wexner. It's like, you know, these are pretty famous, powerful people, aren't they?
Yeah.
But go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. And, you know, and again, you know, I named the sermon title "The Jews and Their Files," because, you know, I believe that this is a Jewish conspiracy. And, you know, Jeffrey Epstein is connected to Israel, right? His girlfriend or wife, I don't know if they were married or not, it doesn't matter to me, but his partner in crime, Ghislaine Maxwell, her dad was like, he was literally a Mossad agent. And the former president of, or prime minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, was like just visiting Jeffrey at his house in New York just over and over and over and over and over again. But there's no Jewish connection. There's no Israeli connection. There's nothing to see here. In fact, he was probably Russian. You know, tell me you're retarded without telling me you're retarded. Jeffrey worked for the Russians. But anyways, so Ecclesiastes 8, chapter number 11 says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." What is that saying? Because we don't punish these people swiftly, they think they can get away with it. And unfortunately, that's what's been going on for decades. Because, you know, this Jeffrey Epstein story has been going on for decades and decades. And there's been corruption going on for decades and decades. Because guess what? The United States government has known about this for a very long time. You know, they have... I don't know if anybody saw this, but you know, I saw some clips from this, but they had our wonderful Attorney General Scambondi was testifying before Congress. And you know, one of her complaints was, she's like, "Well, how come you didn't ask the previous Attorney General about this? How come you didn't do that?" You know, and I can't remember the guy's name, but you know, basically Biden's Attorney General. Does anybody know his name? I see we got a lot of plugged in political people here. But anyway, she's complaining about how, you know, the previous administration didn't do anything about it. It's like, yeah, we know that. But how come you didn't do anything about that, Pam Bondi? Why are you covering it up? And, you know, again, the reason why they've gone to this depth of depravity is because of all the corruption to block and to protect them, to shield them from punishment, so they think that they can just get away with anything they want to. And they have been allowed to by the government of the United States, the federal government of the United States has allowed them to get away with literally child rape and child sacrifice for decades. Deuteronomy 16:19, it says, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of righteousness." So what is this? This is talking about how a judge is not supposed to accept a gift from somebody. Why? Because it's going to cause them to err in judgment. Because if you're caught in a criminal act and then you're hauled in front of the judge, and you're like, "Hey, judge, want $1,000? Want a couple $1,000? You want this? You want that?" What is that? That's bribery, right? And, you know, apparently this is a real common thing in like third world countries. It's a real common thing down in Mexico, where if you get pulled over by the cops in Mexico, you know, they'll take your driver's license from you, and then you got to bribe them to get it back, right? You got to pay them money, then they'll give you the driver's license back, or you pay the money and they won't give you a ticket, right? You know, that's kind of called low-level corruption. Well, you know, what's high-level corruption? Well, you know, that's basically where you get somebody who's in a great position of power and you film them or record them or have a picture of them doing disgusting, horrible things to people. And then you're like, "Hey, you're not going to expose us, right?" Right? Yeah. And then they're kind of forced to comply with your wishes and demands, because otherwise you're going to expose them. And this is what this whole thing was about. You know, or, you know, I don't know what Pam Bondi's problem is, where she's just running cover for the pedophiles like crazy. You know, maybe she's in the file somewhere. I mean, probably not. But, you know, what is motivating her to do this. I mean, did they make her an offer she couldn't refuse? Did she wake up with a horse head in her bed? I don't know. But she's covering for the pedophiles. And there's no excuse for that. And, you know, also, Dan Bongino, who was the secretary at the FBI, and then Kash Patel, who's the head of the FBI, these guys are all liars. Pam Bondi, Dan Bongino, and what was the last guy I said? You're all making me... Okay, all right. Kash Patel. You're making me look like fools. It's your fault. I'm employing my Pam Bondi, what do you call it? Act. Yeah, impersonation, right? It's all your fault. Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, and Pam Bondi. These are all major people in the administration. And these are all people that are basically in charge of prosecuting these people. So, you know, the reason why Les Wexner is not being prosecuted right now, even though the FBI has known for years that he was a co-conspirator to child sex trafficking, is because of people like Pam Bondi, people like Dan Bongino, and people like Kash Patel. And if you remember a couple years ago when they were on the campaign trail, they're all, you know, shouting into the world. They're like, hey, you know, we're gonna expose the files. You know, and the reason why the files are not being exposed is because there's a bunch of powerful people in the files. You know, I remember Kash Patel specifically saying, hey, you don't think that Bill Gates, this is somebody I should have put in my list. Yeah, I don't know why I forgot about that. But you don't think that Bill Gates is lobbying Congress every day to not have the files released because of what he's going to be embarrassed about what they're going to find about him in those files? Well, you know what? Kash was right, because Bill Gates was in the files. And apparently he got a disease from a Russian girl and then gave it to his wife. And then he's asking Epstein for antibiotics that he can secretly give to his wife. What a freak. And by the way, this guy is heavily involved in the vaccine industry. He's running around Africa trying to make sure that every little African child is vaccinated with his vaccines. You know, I wonder why. But anyways, you know, these people are corrupt, evil, wicked people. And basically every single Justice Department for probably decades are part of this group and part and parcel to this cover-up, okay? And, you know, I don't know what's causing them to be motivated to do these things. You know, I don't know what happened to Dan Bongino. I mean, a couple years ago, he's like, we got to find out what's in the files. Don't let go of the files. You don't let the Epstein files go. Couple years later, he's like, there's nothing in the files. In fact, there are no files. He's like, you think there's a list? There's no list. I mean, like, come on, what are you talking about? You know, I Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. I saw the whole file. He committed. It's like, what in the world? How do you go from that to, well, nothing happened? And then they actually release the files, and it's like, no, there is stuff that happened, buddy. You're a liar, and you should be going to jail. And, you know, these people, the fact that they're covering up for this child sex trafficking, you know, maybe it shouldn't just be jail. Maybe they should get the wood chipper, too. I think that about Kash Patel for sure, because he lied through his teeth to Congress. He perjured himself in front of Congress. They specifically asked him, hey, are there any other co-conspirators? And he said, not to my knowledge, no. There's no other co-conspirators. He trafficked all the girls to himself. And then when they forced them to release the files, who do we have on the co-conspirator list? Les Wexner, who has access to all these women that want to be part of Victoria's Secret and Bath and Body Works. You want to be a Victoria's Secret model? You got to do the dirty work, apparently. Exodus 23, verse number 8, it says, thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Psalm 82, verse number 2, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy to rid them out of the hand of the wicked. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that are vulnerable, okay? Now, you know, I said earlier, we need to protect our children from this kind of stuff. And, you know, how do we protect our children from this stuff? They need strong parental examples that are going to keep them in the right way, okay? Because how do these children get into this? Well, I mean, we just read in Psalm, you know, we have to defend the poor and the fatherless, right? Now, what kind of a person does a predator target? A predator targets those who are vulnerable. What makes somebody vulnerable? Well, one thing that, like, pedophiles, one characteristic about children that pedophiles will try to locate and figure out about somebody is, do they have a strong father figure? Okay, because if there's a strong father figure associated with that child, he's going to avoid that. Why? Because he probably fears the father, but if he tries to do something to that individual, that child has somebody to tell. They're going to tell their dad, and then he's really going to be afraid of the dad. Yeah. So you know, one of the ways, you know, that we defend our children is, you know, by being that strong example and having a great, you know, good and great relationship with your children. And, you know, again, preventing them from wanting to do something like, you know, be a Victoria's Secret model. But, you know, it's like, okay, you know, having a child that's fatherless and that doesn't have a good male role model, you know, people have heard of the term daddy issues, right? Somebody that has daddy issues will go with somebody that's a really toxic person and a bad person for them. Why? Because they crave that, you know, affirmation from a father figure that they never had, right? And so that's the type of people like Ghislaine Maxwell, because she was, you know, this was kind of like her job, is to recruit these girls. Somebody that's vulnerable like that, the fatherless, a young lady that doesn't have a father in the home, she's vulnerable to somebody like Ghislaine Maxwell to be like, hey, you know, come over here and, you know, I'm going to give you $100 or $200 or whatever it is to give somebody a massage, right? You know, and, you know, they don't have a father figure in the house. You know, they didn't have somebody to teach them, hey, you know, cheap massages are not really a good thing for you to be doing. I mean, unless you're going to like a masseuse school or whatever, and, you know, and that'd be like another rabbit hole that I don't want to go down. You know, probably don't let your kids be masseuses. You know, you probably don't want your daughter to be a masseuse. That just seems, I don't know. In this context, when I'm preaching about this, that just seems really weird, okay? So for now, I'm just going to not recommend your children doing that, all right? But it's like, okay, you know, hey, cheap massages from, you know, solicited from strangers is probably not a good idea, right? But this is the type of people that, like, Ghislaine Maxwell is gonna prey on. Somebody that does not have a strong father figure in their life, so that they're vulnerable, so they can be taken advantage of. But, you know, unfortunately, in our world, those people exist. We have to accept that fact. There's vulnerable people in our society. We don't live in a perfect world. Not everybody has a father in their household. And there's lots of different reasons for that. You know, sometimes dads die. It's very unfortunate, but that's the reality of the world that we live in, right? But that's why it's very important to have people of integrity in these positions of power, right? Because if you had an attorney general, or if you had a head of the FBI that had integrity, that refused the gift and said, no, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to defend the poor and the fatherless, and I'm going to do justice to them, then this type of thing would be a far less common, my friend. Because they'd say, hey, I found this file that says that Les Wexner is a child sex predator. He's a child sex, I can't even get the words out of my mouth. Trafficker. I'm going to indict him. I'm going to open up a case on him. I'm going to drag him in front of the grand jury. We're going to present the evidence, and we're going to put him away. That's what somebody of integrity would have done. But unfortunately, we don't have that in our country. Unfortunately, it seems like we have a system of two tiers of justice. Because let me tell you, you know, if you get caught stealing, if you get caught lying to Congress, I don't know how many of you have been lied to Congress before, but If any of you get caught committing crimes worthy of punishment, let me tell you, you will be punished. And, you know, especially if it's like the wrong kind of political crime. You know, the FBI, I don't know how much, you know, somebody, I'm sure somebody has the amount of money that was spent on this. But, you know, they spent, I'm sure they spent billions of dollars trying to find every single person that could have possibly been involved in the January 6th riot, right? And, you know, I think I've told this story before, but, you know, I had a roommate for 4 or 5 years, and, my roommate, he was, you know, I don't want to insult him, but he's a law-abiding citizen, right? And he never even got a speeding ticket, okay? He was a really nice guy, really good guy, right? Never broke the law in any way. But apparently there was like a photo where somebody kind of sort of looked like him if you squinted, right? And the FBI came to his house to question him about January 6th, where the feds riled up a bunch of people to go into the Capitol and nothing happened. But then Les Wexner, who's known to the FBI as a child sex trafficker, is running around running Victoria's Secret and Bath and Body Works. Well, we didn't have time. Didn't have time. Didn't have the resources. Oh, yeah, I guess we spent them all hunting down somebody that walked into the Capitol because they were invited in by a cop. Yeah. Proverbs 17:23 says, "A wicked man taketh the gift out of the bosom to pervert the way of judgment." Deuteronomy 27:25 says, "Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen." So you know what? You know, they purposely put out the names of all these victims. And, you know, why did they do that? Well, probably so that all their hitmen they have on speed dial can know who they are and go and silence them. And you know how they silence people? You know all these different people that have discovered these horrifying things about the government? What happens to them oftentimes? Oh, they were in a car accident. Imagine that. I mean, he was about to publish this story, and then he got in his car at 3 a.m., and he flew down the road at 98 miles an hour and flipped over 68 times, and the car just blew up. Huh. What happened? Oh, man, that story, though. Oh, you know, I mean, and there's, you know, there's various people that have, like, exposed what the government does. What do they always have to do to survive? Flee the country. I mean, what's that? Julian Assange. What does he do? He exposes what the government does, which is illegal and unconstitutional, and he has to flee the country. Because if he didn't flee the country, he'd be 6 feet under right now, I guarantee. And then there was another guy, I can't remember his name, but he had to flee to Russia because he exposed what the NSA was doing. Edward Snowden, that's right. Edward Snowden, he literally has to flee to another country for exposing the unconstitutional nature of the NSA spying on all Americans all the time, collecting their data, which is illegal, and he has to flee and go to another country. Why? Because otherwise the guy that took a reward is going to slay the innocent person. That's why. And, as far as I know, there's multiple basically murder cases within the Epstein files. Somebody found where they're emailing about like vats of acid. What are they doing with that? Well, that's a pretty good way to get rid of evidence. The people that are covering this up, though, they are cursed. Okay. And, you know, I have no goodwill towards any of these people that are involved in the cover-up at all. I have no goodwill towards them. I want them to get justice. And, you know, most of them, you know, they probably should end up 6 feet under for covering this up, you know, depending on how involved they were. And so go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter number 1. You know, I was hoping this morning that Remy would preach about Valentine's Day or something so that we could have a balance of, you know, upliftingness versus the, you know, kind of the downer of a sermon this evening. But, you know, not too many of us are gluttons, so that's not bad, right? All right, so Isaiah chapter number 1, verse number 23 says, "Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after reward. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them." Micah 3:10, it says, "They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. The prophets thereof divine for money, yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? And evil cannot come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sakes be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high place the forest." And you know what? I think here in Micah 3:10, I think that describes the nation of Israel pretty well. You know, they're divining for money, they're teaching for hire, you know, they're perverting judgment all over the place, and they're saying, "Hey, the Lord is with us. The Lord's, I mean, isn't that what the Jews say today? Hey, we're God's chosen people. We can do whatever the heck we want. And we can propagandize, and we can lie to the public, and we can just do whatever the heck we want." Why? Oh, because the Lord's on our side. And, you know, we're in God's land over here. This is the Holy Land. And, you know, it doesn't matter how evil and wicked we are. It doesn't matter, you know, that we're literally controlling world governments through pedophilia. We can do whatever we want. Why? Because we've paid off all the judges, or we've threatened the judges. You know, again, I don't know how they're getting Pam Bondi to do this. I don't know how they're getting Kash Patel to do this. I don't know how they're getting Dan Bongino to do these things. But they are, and they're successful. You know, it's interesting. I haven't heard anything in America about any arrests happening. It's weird, though, because in other countries there are. I think they're going to arrest Prince Andrews. Maybe he'll get justice in England. Talk about a miracle. But in America, it's not happening. Why? Well, again, it's because the Jews are over there perverting judgment. And they're saying, "Hey, God's with us." But verse number 12 is my favorite part about this passage. "Therefore, Zion, for your sakes, shall be plowed as a field." You know, in Matthew chapter number 25, Jesus describes when the nations are going to be brought before him. And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, right? These different nations are going to be judged by God. And they're going to be judged based on how they treated God's people, right? Now, Matthew 25 is not a salvation passage. It's telling you how nations are going to be judged by God when he comes into his kingdom for the millennial reign. And he says, "Hey, those that would not want me to rule over them, bring them before me and slay them." And so, you know, when people say that God's not done with the Jews, you're right. He's going to bring them before him, and he's going to say, "Hey, slay them." And here's the thing. You know, again, the title of my sermon was The Jews and Their Files. Now, here's the thing about being a Jew, right? Being a Jew is not a race. It has nothing to do with your genetics, and it has nothing to do with the blood that you were born with. And it has everything to do with an ideology and a religion, my Amen. Friend. Okay? Now, to me, at this point in my life, to be a Jew is basically just tell me you're a Nazi at that point. Because I think they're about as bad. Probably being a Jew is worse. Okay? Why? Because if you just look at what they've done throughout history, it's actually worse than what the Nazis ever did. I mean, what have they done? Well, I mean, recently, I say recently, you know, in the last couple hundred years, they took over Russia. How many people have they killed in Russia? I mean, there were 6 million people that died in the Holodomor alone. And what brought that about? Well, the Jewish Revolution. They call it the Bolshevik Revolution. But what is Bolshevism? It's basically Judaism brought into government, is what that is. And it's like 75% of the people that were at the heads of that movement were all Jewish. Okay? And, you know, there wasn't just 6 million people that were killed by the Jewish communists in Russia. It was a lot more. I believe there was at least 20 million people that were killed in Russia. And there's lots of other various things that the Jews have done like that throughout history. Okay? You know, they caused us to go to war in Iraq. They knocked down our towers. They caused us to go to war in Syria and in Libya and in all these different countries where we're just toppling these different governments. And then you have millions of people dying as a result of what they have done. Okay. And so go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter number 23. Matthew chapter number 23. But again, my point is that Judaism, to me, it's much like Nazism. Why? Because if somebody is a Nazi, can they stop being a Nazi? Yes, they can. They can stop. They can put away those beliefs. You know, there's people out there that are saying that, oh, the Nazis really weren't that bad and Hitler was actually a really good guy or whatever. You know, that's not actually true. You know, the Nazis actually did believe in racial supremacy, which is a wicked doctrine. Yeah. That is evil. Okay, so Nazism is evil, okay? Oh, you know, maybe they weren't as bad as what they were taught, but guess what? You know, they were evil, okay? That is, whenever any group teaches racial supremacy, nothing good comes of it.
Amen.
It's always bad. And, nothing good, that means people die. Because people have racial supremacy in their stupid heads, people pay the ultimate price for it. A lot of people die because of it. And so any type of racial supremacy needs to be preached against. The Bible says that we are all the nations are of one blood. There's only one color of blood, my friend, and that is red. Okay. So the color of people's skins don't matter. And the Nazis didn't believe that. They thought it did matter what the color of your skin was. Okay? They were racial supremacists. Okay? And you'd have to be a complete moron to think otherwise. All right. But you know, being a Jew at this point is basically just as bad. Okay? Because it's like, okay, because Judaism is a religious belief system. Okay? Now, in the year of our Lord 2026, Judaism doesn't have a really good name right now. So, you know, maybe 10 years ago, if somebody was just born a Jew, they're like, hey, you know, I go to the synagogue or whatever, and I'm a Jew, and it's fine. You know, that person, I would say, okay, you know, that, you know, whatever. You were born that way. You know, you need to believe the truth and get out of Judaism and believe in Jesus Christ. But it's like, okay, I don't inherently think you're just like an evil, wicked person. But in 2026, there's been, you know, so much about Judaism has been exposed to everybody. It's like, hey, your excuses are kind of going out the window at this point. I mean, we've all you know heard about what you've been teaching in your Kabbalah and in your Talmud about Jesus boiling in excrement, and about the fact that they're teaching that it's okay to sleep with a three-year-old, and it's not, it's fine, is what they're teaching in their documents, right? And the fact that their religion has in front of the whole world basically caused a genocide to happen, right? And you know, and there's just all these major problems. We see all the manipulation going on coming from the Jews, but they're like, well, you know, it's not all the Jews. It's like, okay, well, yeah, but I guess it wasn't all the Nazis, was it? You know, if you say I'm a Nazi, then I'm assuming you believe in Nazi ideology. So if you say, hey, I'm a Jew, I'm going to assume you believe in Jewish ideology. And one of the things that was in this file, it's like, okay, all the people that knew about Judaism were in the know. They already knew about this stuff. But one of the things that was revealed is this idea of Jewish supremacy. Because Jeffrey Epstein, he's typing in all of his emails to all of his buddies, like, hey, you know, all of his Jewish friends, you know, one of them was like, hey, are there going to be any Goyim at the party or is it going to be all Jews? He's like, oh, lots of dirty Goyim are going to be there, right? And then in another one, he's like, hey, you know, the battle between the Goy and the Jews, Jews currently winning. So in their minds, there's a battle between the Jews and the Goyim. And what does Goyim even mean? It means nation cattle. They, the Jews, that word tells you that they believe you are less than human if you're not Jewish. They believe that they're superior racially. Okay, this is called racial supremacy. Okay, you know, and again, you know, Judaism is a religion, not a race, but they really want it to be a race, because then they can call you a racist if you don't like Judaism, right? But guess what? Here's the thing. I mean, all these people that are calling themselves Jews, if you just look at their skin color, what color are they?
White.
I'm Jewish. You know, where did the Jews come from? They came from the Middle East. So shouldn't you be like a little bit darker? Why are you whiter than me? And you're calling yourself, but it's a race. It's like, what are we talking about here? They're just Europeans. They're just a bunch of Eastern Europeans, right? They're a bunch of white boys running around. But then they're like, oh, we're not white. You know, stupid people like Ben Shapiro, he's like, well, you know, I mean, I'm Jewish, you know. You know, sometimes Jews get mixed in with white people, but really it's a kind of a different... No, it's just Europeans, my friend. These people that are calling themselves Jews, but do lie, okay? Yeah. So again, you know, if you say, hey, I'm a Nazi, I assume you believe in Nazi ideology. If you say, hey, I'm a Jew, I assume you believe in Jewish ideology. And you know, and what is that? Well, it's to believe that you're superior to everyone else because you're God's chosen people, right? But here's the wonderful thing about ideologies. You don't have to believe it, my friend. Any one of these Jews, you know, except you know, maybe the reprobates or whatever, but any of these Jews, they can stop being a Jew at any time and they can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You know, or alternatively, obviously that's what they should do, but they could just stop being a Jew and become literally anything else that they wanted to. There's nothing stopping them from being any other religion. If they wanted to be a Muslim, they could be a Muslim. If they wanted to be a Hindu, they could be a Hindu. If they wanted to be a Buddhist, they could be a Buddhist. You know, obviously they should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, but they can literally be anything else that they want. They can stop being a Jew at any time. So I don't want to hear anybody calling me a racist or anybody calling me like an anti-Semite or whatever, because obviously what I want for those people is for them to stop being a Jew and become a Christian and actually get saved. But I'm also sick and tired of people being like, well, you know, it's not all of them. You know, it's just the 99% make the 1% look bad. It's like, just stop identifying with that group. That's an option. Oh, but I grew up Jew. It doesn't matter. Judaism is not a race. It's a religion. Just reject the religion. When you find out that the top, all the powerful, every powerful person in your religion is involved in child sex trafficking, it's time to rethink your religion. I mean, if I woke up one morning and just every single fundamental Baptist pastor was a pedophile, I would be like, oh, you know, maybe I should rethink being a fundamental Baptist. It's time to rethink my religion. Now, thank God, we don't really have to worry about that. And, you know, there's various scandals that have happened in various churches. You know, a real famous one was the pastor of First Works, not First Works, I'm sorry. I'll be caught for slander on that one. First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, right? What was the pastor's name? Nobody knows their Baptist history? Jack Scott. His name was Jack Scott. Basically, he was caught committing statutory rape. But here's the thing. He went to jail, and he's exposed for it, right? You see, here's the difference between fundamental Baptists and Jews, and Catholics, by the way, is that when fundamental Baptists are caught doing something wicked, they get exposed. Anybody heard of Donnie Romero before? Oh, yeah. He was a fundamental Baptist pastor, but he was caught doing sick, disgusting stuff. You know, gambling, sleeping with hookers, doing cocaine. Like that's, you know, Hey, at least it's not child sex trafficking. I'll give him that. Not child sex trafficking, not reprobate material. Okay, sure, fine. But, I mean, sleeping with hookers, that's pretty scandalous, my friend. What happened to him? He gets exposed. Okay? That's what happens in Baptist circles. That's what's supposed to happen. You know, every once in a while, you know, there'll be some church that tries to cover something up, but then a bunch of other Baptists come in, they're like, hey, no, we're going to expose this to the world. We don't want, you know, this is not going to stain our reputation. Amen. This is not representative of fundamental Baptists, right?
Yep.
But when all these powerful Jews get caught, it's like, oh, well, I was born a Jew. Oh, what are we going to do? It's like, hey, I know exactly what you should do. Stop being a Jew. And then you don't have to tell people, oh, I'm Jewish. And then have that horrible reputation. Because you know what? That horrible reputation is earned at this point. It's earned. Matthew 23, verse number 35, it says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Bechariah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. You know, I've read this verse before, but, you know, this verse is really interesting because Jesus blames the people that are standing right in front of him for killing Abel and Zacharias, A to Z. And Zacharias was 500 years before Christ, and he's blaming them. And he says, by the way, all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, and I'm blaming you. And so, you know, I'm just going to take Jesus' position. All this righteous blood that's been shed upon this, on God's green earth, I'm blaming it on them. Because that's what Jesus said. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that the truth has been exposed about this subject, Lord, and we pray that justice can be brought to every single person that has harmed any of these people, and that that your word can be observed and your punishments can be observed and visited upon these people, Lord, so that others may fear to do this wickedness, and that we can protect the fatherless and the widows, Lord, and those that are downtrodden and those who are vulnerable, Lord. Lord, I pray that you please help us Americans and all the people of the world to protect those of us that are vulnerable from these wicked, evil people, Lord. In dear Jesus' name, amen.
Want to take your hymnals? We're going to turn to page number 143. Page number 143, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His Spirit, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Paul, would you please close us in a word of prayer?
Good, Father, thank you.